Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 25 to 38. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord, and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the ransom for our sins, your fellow redeemed. How can you make the essence of Christmas, the spirit of Christmas, last? Maybe spreading out your Christmas bill payments. Maybe keeping your tree and your decorations up for a month or two. Well, in our sermon text this morning, we see two Christians who show us how the joy of Christmas can remain in your hearts long after the carols have been sung, after the presents have been opened, after the decorations have been put away, and yes, after the bill is paid. Our text this morning takes place 40 days after Jesus was born. According to the Old Testament laws, when Jesus was 8 days old, he was circumcised and given the name Jesus. Then according to Leviticus chapter 12, the 40th day of a son's birth, the mother was to go to the temple, the sanctuary, and there offer a sacrifice. For the firstborn son was to be dedicated as a priest to the Lord. The Lord God in the Old Testament said that the tribe of Levi would be the priests. And so if you were not of the tribe of Levi, and you had a firstborn son, you and your husband would go and redeem him from the Lord. Buy him back. It would be some money and lamb and turtle dove. So if you were wealthy enough, you would bring a lamb as a burnt offering and a turtle dove or a pigeon as a sin offering. If you weren't, you could bring two turtle doves or two pigeons. Well, Mary and Joseph were not very wealthy at this time, and so they brought two turtle doves as their offering. When Joseph and Mary walked into the temple, they didn't realize it, but there was a man there waiting for just their arrival, for just that very day. Simeon, a devout Christian, who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That term, consolation of Israel, is tied up in the promises of God to his people, promises that would console them and give them comfort. It's found in the promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that from their seed would come a Savior, who would be from the tribe of Judah, David's son, yet David's Lord. He would be the one who would be the kinsman redeemer of all Israel. But Simeon had something special. The Holy Spirit had told him that he would not see death before he would see the Messiah. So he knew that before he died, sometime in his lifetime, he would see that long-awaited Savior. How thrilling that must have been. One can imagine his anticipation, his eagerness every single morning when he wakes up. Perhaps today's the day. We know how exciting it is when someone makes a promise to us to do something for us. Well, imagine waiting for a promise to be fulfilled for some 4,000 years. That's how long it had been since God had promised to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden that he would send the Savior, the Messiah, his son, to crush Satan's power and authority. 2,000 years after that first promise, God repeated it to Abraham. And then for the next 1,500 years, he had one prophet after another, prophesy of the coming over and over and over again. It's no wonder that when the Spirit tapped Simeon on the shoulder and said, "There's the one," that Simeon ran up to Mary, took the baby from her arms, placed him in his arms, tightly held onto him, and then proclaimed those words, those verses which we know as the Nunc Dimittis. Our theme this morning is the true spirit and joy of Christmas leads to a life in Christ. Simeon declared, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. As you have promised, Lord, now I see it." Day after day after day, Simeon had been waiting for this child, this baby to be born. And now, he not only saw the baby Jesus in his arms, he saw what this baby would do. It would save him from his sins. That's why he was so excited. Because Simeon knew himself very well. He knew that his life was one unending line of failure. Failure to keep God's commandments as God demanded. He knew that his sins of thoughts and words and actions caused him to have the debt of eternal death. Caused him to say, for God to say to him, "Depart from me into everlasting judgment forever." And we knew too need to hear those very same things. You and I have not been as caring and understanding and loving and compassionate and forgiving to our neighbors as God demands of us. You and I have not loved God as he commands with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and all of our mind. You and I have not met God's demands of being perfect in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. You and I have been more selfish than selfless, more sinful than sincere, more sarcastic than sacrificing, more wanting than giving. You have earned God's wrath and condemnation over and over and over again, and so have I. Simeon learned that. He knew that he deserved God's wrath. But he knew that this little child that was in his arms would be the one who would come and save him from God's punishment, from God's wrath, and take away his sins. Because he clung to those promises God had given to him in this child. Someone has said that the difference between happiness and joy is this. Happiness is a response to an event. You're given a present, you're happy. You win a baseball or basketball game, you're happy. You give birth to a child, you're happy. It's a response to an event. But joy is much, much more. Joy is that relationship emotion that you have, especially when it's centered in Christ. So even though we may not always be happy because of things happening in our life, the loss of loved ones, illness, injury, loss of a job, or 100 other things in our life, our hearts can still be filled with joy in Jesus. The happiness of Christmas may be past. The event's over. The excitement, the anticipation has now come to an end. It's only going to be remembered with pictures or video. But the joy of Christmas still is in the heart of all of those who have clung to the promise that in this baby we celebrated his birth this last week is forgiveness, life, and salvation. This baby came to die for me. No doubt, Simeon had some unhappy days after this event before he died. He may have even died a slow, painful death. But we know that Simeon's heart was filled with joy because of Jesus. His heart was centered in this baby. Now, this is the second point. The joy, the true spirit and joy of Christmas leads also to confession of Christ. Simeon knew the real purpose of why Jesus came. He saw with eyes of faith the salvation that was prepared for him through this little baby. That's why he was now ready to depart, ready to die in peace. For he now knew that there was peace between God and all of us sinners because of this little child. Simeon not only saw a baby in his arms, 40 days old, he saw what that baby would do with eyes of faith. He saw the agony and the suffering and the pain that that baby would go through by paying for his guilt and his sins and the sins of all people, Jew and Gentile alike. We read again the rest of his Nunc Dimittis. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And then we're told, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. The true joy of Christmas was in Simeon's heart and can remain in yours and mine all year long when we see the real purpose of the Christ child, the real purpose of the baby Jesus. The real purpose, a ransom for our sins. The real purpose, the shed blood of a Savior slain on the cross. The real purpose, the assurance of victory over death. The real purpose, a glorious resurrection from the dead. The real purpose, salvation to all who believe, Jew or Gentile alike. Believing these truths, we have the eternal life and we'll be ready to depart in peace whenever the Lord calls. The next person we meet in our text is a lady named Anna. Quite elderly, she maybe was over 100 years old, been a widow for 84 years. We don't know much more than that, but we know enough. When she saw the baby Jesus, she broke forth in a song of praise, and she told others who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. The Christmas joy remained in her heart long after that day she saw Jesus because she gave away the joy of Christmas to others. We mentioned that Christmas Day morning. The best way to keep the joy of Christmas alive in your heart is by giving it away to others, by telling others about Jesus. But how can we have joy in our hearts in the midst of the sorrows of life? Why can we rejoice even in the face of trials and tribulations and losses and failures, and deaths, and disasters? How in the world can we still be joyful if in our hearts and lives we're filled with misery? Because like Anna, we have the Christmas joy to give to others. A joy of knowing that our Savior has come into this world in the person of Jesus and has lived a perfect life for us. A joy of knowing that when he went to the cross to suffer and die for us, he paid the whole price of our sins, damnation. The joy of knowing that when he redeemed us, he rose back from the dead and assured us of a resurrection to everlasting life, promised to be with us to the very end of days and take us to be with him in heaven. It is no wonder that Mary and Joseph were filled and marveled at the words of Simeon. We too can only wonder and amazement and appreciation of that peace and joy the Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts that fills our hearts, even in the frustrations of life, and especially in the fears of our death. wonder at the great love of God our Father, who said, I'm going to send my Son down to this world as the greatest gift ever given to humankind. I'm going to send my Son to be the perfect propitiation, the perfect sacrifice for all those sinners who are lost. Wonder at the selfless obedience of Jesus, who said, yes, Father, I'll go. I'll go down to this earth, become a human being just like all of them, and I will give my life as a sacrificial payment for the sins of the whole world. Wonder at that amazing plan that God had for us, that he would send his Son to take our sins, and he would send his Son to live a perfect life, so we receive his righteousness, he receives our sins, and we have forgiveness and salvation. Wonder that Jesus came and was willing to pay the debt he didn't owe for us who owed a debt that we couldn't pay. But by next weekend, or by Monday, next Monday, Epiphany, all this will be over. Most of the trees will be taken down. Most of the ornaments will be put back. We'll probably have to keep paying Christmas bills for a while. But that's not how we keep the joy of Christmas alive in our hearts. The joy of Christmas stays alive in our hearts next month, 6 months from now, next fall. We can still be rejoicing in the good news of a Savior for all when we cling to those promises made in this child. We see in him that all the promises were fulfilled in Jesus. The promises of Christmas joy, because we have forgiveness, life, and salvation alone through this child. Then the year 2020 will be filled with the spirit and joy of Christmas all year long. And we'll be able to do as the Apostle Paul encouraged the Christians of his day when he said, be joyful always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now say it again. Rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.